So what's happening here is Jesus is awakening Nathanael up to his awareness of him. And that's often a step as people explore Jesus, that when they discover things about him from his word, from these stories, they go, oh, yeah, there I am. God knows me. God knows my heart. He knows what I'm really like. So Nathanael is curious then by that. How could you possibly know me? And Jesus has a reply to him, and he says a pretty amazing thing. Verse 50, he says, Nathanael, this is nothing. The fact that I knew you were under that tree and I know your name, that's nothing. Because there are bigger and greater things that are going to unfold for you. Jesus makes lots of promises. The Bible is full of his promises to these men and to us. And within his promises are promises of adventure. That the life he gives us is going to be somehow new and fresh and transforming. And one of the problems, if all we experience is church, is that church can seem kind of normal and not that adventure. And the adventure really is out there. So yeah, we love to come and worship and learn and grow and be together, but the adventure, it's out there. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to see some bigger things. And it's a general statement that Nathanael, if you follow me, you're going to see some amazing things. But the amazing things only come when you're on the way, when you're following Jesus. Like, if you're sitting at home in the dark, my guess is Jesus isn't going to awaken you to the adventures. But if you get out, where the Holy Spirit's at work in some powerful, awesome, mysterious way, and somehow you engage it and take some risks, I can almost certainly assure you there's going to be some greater things. For these men, it was only a few days later that some greater things unfolded. It was in John 2, 1 to 11. They all go to a wedding of their friend. At their weddings, they served some wine. Everybody liked the wine, and it all ran out. This is in the Bible, story about wine. And they said to Jesus, we have a problem. Jesus said, okay, I'll do something about it. Took some jugs of water, and he made them into wine. Good wine, the Bible says. So, and the conclusion of that in 2:11 is, he thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. So Jesus does some bigger things to make us aware of his magnificence. And that's what John was saying when he introduced the book. We've seen his glory. We've seen some greater things. We've seen some magnificent things. And that's what we're commending to you. Live in the story of Jesus, because there's more there. So what we have here really is a back story of the disciples initially discovering Jesus. Because later on, they're out fishing in their boats down by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes walking up, and he does that next miracle of filling their nets with fish, and they're all amazed. And that's when he said, come and follow me for real, and I'll make you fishers of men. So this is the early stage, and there's more steps to come. But there's attraction. I think there's wonder in pursuing Jesus when we realize there's actually more, and it isn't normal stuff. It gets beyond normal. So it's difficult for me to assure you of what those amazing things might be. I don't want to be a false prophet saying this or that's going to happen to you, but I can only tell you that amazing things do happen. And some of those amazing things have happened for me in the stories of my life. And I've met with some of you and listened to your stories of encounters with Jesus, and I've heard amazing stories right here of life change, of transformation, of reconciliation between people estranged, of healing, of God providing. And on a bigger scale, there are stories of God even changing the course of history. Those things don't make it to the front page of newspapers, but the people who live in the stories, they know them. And what I want to say this morning is that Jesus takes us beyond normal, and he grows our faith by showing us more. There's one enhanced reference here, and I wouldn't be true to the text if I skipped over it. Because Jesus says, there's going to be some greater things, but then there's a pause and he goes, oh, wait a minute. There's something even more specific. And I'm going to say that this might have been just a special thing for those disciples to see something even more magnificent for the sake of their growth and their courage and their confidence in Christ. But Jesus says, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So that's a reference, more than likely, to an experience that Jacob had in Genesis 28. And you know the story where Jacob's booking it along on his travels, and nighttime comes, he lays down, the Bible says he used a rock for a pillow. I'm wondering if that's a textual variant, because I don't know that I would sleep well. But anyways, he lays down, and in the night he has a dream. And in his dream, the Bible says heaven was opened. And he saw God ascending and descending, or saw angels ascending and descending on something like a ladder. And God spoke to him out of the heavens, and this is very important for the history of Israel, and he says, Jacob, you're in that family line, and I want to reassure you that I'm going to follow through on my covenant promise to you, and I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to give you this land. And you know what else, Jacob? I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to take care of you, and you don't have to worry about anything. So that's the Old Testament reference point for this, and Jesus has just said about Nathanael, you're a really good Israelite. And so maybe there's a connection there. The good Israelite, Nathanael, hearing that, wow, I could sort of experience something like Jacob experienced, that would close the deal for me. But there are some references to angels showing up for these men at the baptism, transfiguration. A few of these men went to the top of the mountain with Jesus, and all of a sudden he lit up and glowed, and a couple of guys spoke to them that were prophets that should not be on the earth but came down. We see another example of it in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascends back to heaven, and at that time two men stood and explained to them. It's in Acts 1, you can check it out. Explained to them that Jesus was gone and he was coming back. And the other place I see it is in Revelation 1 when this same apostle John says that the message that he wrote as the book of Revelation was delivered to him in the presence of angels. So there's evidence that that promise of Jesus came true. How true it is beyond those experiences, I can't say. So, if there's greater things, what inhibits the greater things? What is it that inhibits that? I think it has something to do with our competing desires and expectations. We invest a lot in living our physical lives, the human part of our lives, and we do need to do that. Like, yeah, we have to have homes. We have to earn money. We have to provide food. We have to take care of all those needs. And there's a little bit of space in our lives for good things like hockey. Yeah? But other pursuits and interests, you know, those are all good things. But if we have too much, if we're consumed by too much, then we don't have room for the better things that Jesus has for us. So what we have here is a couple of guys walking down the street, normal guys in a normal town, and their lives intersect the life of Jesus. And Jesus pops this question, what do you want? I think it's a good question for all of us. What do you want? What do you want from Jesus? You want more? I think he's got it. I really do. In fact, if you just flip the pages down to John 15 and verse 7, Jesus makes this promise. He says, if you remain in me, if you stay connected, if I'm your priority, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Ask whatever you wish. What do you want? What do you want? And I wonder if I can't just ask you to take that question away today. The question of Jesus. Sort it out. Pray through it. What do you need? What do you desire? What's the greater things that Jesus might be able to unfold for you? It's within his capacity and his power to give it to you. Amen? So, just quickly, last week we started this little epiphany exercise about reading the sermon text for the coming Sunday, just to get immersed in it. Read it through once a day, that's my recommendation. And here's the text for next week. It is in your bulletin, John 2, verses 12 to 25. And Jesus really upsets the tables in this text. And then, okay, there was a little prayer there that we had from last week. No, I flipped too many slides. And there it is. Lord, will you reveal more of your light and life, your grace and truth to me in this new year? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it's all true. And we pray that your Holy Spirit might just come with sufficiency and power for each of us to discover whatever that next step is of knowing Jesus and going deeper with him. Please do that in all of our hearts. In his name we pray. Amen.